Mr. Chairman, tomorrow we will cover this item in the PL update item. I did sign a letter yesterday to Pacific Lumber with comments on the monitoring plan, and that's available, Mr. Lovelace, if you'd like a copy before you leave.
Thank you. That's the end of the public forum cards. If we could move now to an update on the Scott TMDL from the executive officer, please.
Okay. The State Water Board approved the Scott River TMDL on June 21st, and we had the pleasure of John Corbett's company at the hearing as well. Board members present were Tam Doda, Charlie Hoppen, and Mr. Segundi. They clearly had read all of the material. They asked a lot of really good questions. It was a very interactive session. There was a large presence of fisher people, some from as far away as Morrow Bay, who have been devastated by the closure of the salmon fishery due to the low return numbers of the Klamath salmon. They were asking the state board to in some way deal with flows in the Scott, and they asked that either the TMDL be returned to this board to consider the addition of flows, or that the state board take this matter up on its own motion. There were also a large number of comment letters expressing the opposite view. Many of those letters came from various local farm bureaus expressing concern that flows do not belong in TMDLs. You have in your package, the resolution from the state board, and I wanted to review some of the really key provisions that came through. It says revised June 21st, 2006, looks like this. Pardon?
We're not finding.
No, it's not. It's not in. It's not in here. It should be a separate.
Yeah, no,
it's
separate.
You're not. You don't have it.
Not sure we have it.
Okay, Holly's going to get it. My apologies. Well, Holly is getting that. It looks like this, Michelle. No. Okay. There they are. They were sitting out there. While she's passing those out, I want to mention that the Scott River draft work plan that you received last meeting is now ready to share with the public and stakeholders within the entire Klamath Basin, and we hope that by the time that the U.S. EPA approves the TMDL, we will be really close to having a completed work plan and so officially begin the implementation of this TMDL. So then turning back to the resolution, I wanted to highlight number four. This was added by the state board that one of the big issues initially at the first, well, at the workshop was the fact that the TMDL implementation plan was not fully compliant with the non-point source policy. We debated that and disagreed vigorously. However, as a better part of valor, as we have done in the Shasta, I offered to the state board that we would bring to you folks in either August or September an order which would be a conditional waiver for the Scott, similar to what you see in the Shasta, which would be essentially saying you are waived from any waste discharge requirements if you comply with the implementation plan. And that seemed to satisfy the state board that we would be in compliance with the non-point source policy. So they added this provision saying that it is necessary and that based on our assurance that we would, as staff, would bring this to the board, they was one of the reasons why they did adopt the resolution. The next item, number five, were a series of, that the state board added in a series of documents that we're already working on that are part of the triennial review, the sediment policy, the riparian policy, and the temperature standards and DO standards, and those are region-wide, affect listing all of the, almost every single one of our TMDLs that are already adopted are affected by these, and these are a key component to implementation for this region. So the state board picked those up and encouraged us to move forward with those, which we are. Number six, the state board also then encouraged that we would work with the County of Siskiyou on the groundwater monitoring study. And then I would also flag under the therefore be it resolved number three, which is the State Board punchline, if you will, that if the North Coast Water Board fails to regulate discharges under a conditional waiver, as described in Finding 4, the State Water Board staff is directed to consider the reasons for inaction and recommend whether the State Board should consider a waiver or take other appropriate action on their own motion. So a hammer provision if they don't like what we do. And then item number 4, there was some discussion about how this particular watershed fit in with AB 2121, and this provision was added to include the Klamath River and its tributaries to at least the enforcement policy for the AB 2121 activity. I don't think any of us really know what that means yet. The draft of that enforcement policy is scheduled to come out in the near term, and when it comes out, I think we'll have some idea what it means, but I think this one is a bit of a mystery to all of us right now. So that was, I don't know, John, do you want to add anything?
Well, I'll add a couple comments. I agree with you on 2121. When you read the statute and the method of extending it to other counties, it doesn't on its face appear to apply. So then everyone's forcing the remarks onto the enforcement side, and I don't know whether anyone alive knows what that means. So we're really looking forward to how the State Board clarifies that. The second thing is on the conditional waiver. That came across quite a bit to the State Board as though we weren't doing our duty, and in fact, as we had just heard, that they wanted conditional waivers, and you can argue our existing policy of having no waiver and you got to do a waste discharge requirement is actually stricter. And the second thing on the time frame on the conditional waiver, if we give a general conditional waiver, we can pass it right away. It's the tougher we make the conditional waiver, the longer it would actually take to construct the waiver. So I think at the very least we need to go through the motions of a conditional waiver to make sure we're timely to meet what the State Board meant, but I almost think they got the situation reversed. Lastly, the one on the sediment in riparian zone, there's 2 points that I have there. The first is that was somewhat characterized at the State Board that we're delaying it at the regional board level, and so I wanted to directly ask staff, because I'm not aware of that the reason those haven't gone forward is more staff time than any holds from the regional board, because I'm unaware of any politics entering into that, and so I was a little surprised when I heard that at the State Board hearing.
The sediment amendment was pulled and not heard in December 2004 because there wasn't support at the regional board itself. And so it was, instead of bringing it to public forum, bringing it and agendizing it, I knew I clearly did not have the support for that amendment at that point in time. So that may be just a perception issue. That's how I perceived it. The board may perceive it some other way.
I'll state it for the record. My perception of concern with it was the way it was written would have prohibited rehabilitation projects such as the 5-county initiative and other means of watershed restoration projects, which do involve the discharge of sediment in highly impaired watersheds. But I certainly never meant to hold it back from our review. I just want to make that very clear.
And the concerns were quite a bit broader than that. There were concerns that as drafted, it wasn't clear. There were concerns stated from the governor's office about it. I think this maybe is just a perception item. I could have brought it to the board for you to say no or just withdraw it and work on it again, which we have done.
How do we clarify so there can be no misperception that the regional board is not holding up these plans?
Well, you're not holding it up at this point.
Okay. The second issue is the State Board, if I could read between the lines, and it's really too bad Tam Dodek isn't here, I think put in the temperature and the riparian, and now this will no doubt affect the Shasta as well, under concern to get more actual enforcement teeth in the plans. And my major concern there is that I actually think the watershed detailed review is a better system of regulation than these more general ones that tend to put a lot of regulation on the insignificant and not enough on the real sensitive. And so theoretically, I think it will increase the level of water quality in the short term. In the long run, I'm not sure that's a wise way to go. And I am not, and there's sort of a bureaucratic dispute on different approaches here. And my sense is, and I want to ask the State Board that, they were not intending to settle the bureaucratic dispute as the best way to proceed to solve these problems, but they did want these in the SCOT as a means of showing enforcement. And that relates to one other item, is at the SCOT, I think the Regional Board did anticipate some of the enforcement problems and had really wanted that handled through an executive report system, which didn't work. So it does mean we have to have whatever we're going to have in the plans, I think, when they go up on appeal.
If I may, in terms of whether to proceed with region-wide rules versus watershed-specific, the reason we're doing the watershed-wide is at the board's direction. Those are triennial review items that you adopted 3 years ago. So that's why we're working on them. They were the top priorities, they proceeded separately from the TMDLs. They were not coupled together. Right. I think it was just an acknowledgement in the triennial review process that sediment and temperature are the two huge problems for the main causes of impairment for most of the streams in our region that are impaired. And to deal with those in some kind of broad brush, even-handed way was desirable, and that's why they're in the triennial review. And I'm curious what Mr. Corbett means by asking for an enforcement report back. It hasn't worked. I'm not tracking with you.
Well, at the time the SCOT was adopted, there were concerns on the enforceability deadlines, and a motion was mm-hmm. made. It was passed by the board to have a report back in 60 mm-hmm. days.
Which you got. You got the work plan, which is the report. Maybe I wasn't clear. I'm sorry. The work plan has within it that I gave to you last month, but we didn't do it in a... It was a draft work plan.
Right, but did that go to the State Board? 'Cause I'm very confused, but I understood sent a letter to the State Board, but we didn't get the work plan.
Yes, they got the draft work plan as well. But it is a draft work plan, and that's what I just was talking about earlier, is that work plan has finished its internal review, and we're probably in the next couple of weeks going to release that throughout the Klamath Basin for comments. And when we get those comments back, then we will bring it back to the board as a work plan that is going to drive the day-to-day work that our staff does to implement this TMDL.
Well, one last question. Did you think that motion helped the process or not, or was effective or not effective? And would you advise for or against it in the future as a means of addressing
As I understand it, yes, it was important to the State Board that we had adopted a TMDL and were proceeding with the implementation. That yes, indeed, that was quite important.
Okay. And a little bit for the audience, I do want to say our staff ended up with another huge issue that came running down the pike, as it sometimes does, on in the Elk and Freshwater watersheds, and that put a lot of strain on this particular document and producing it. So.
Enough?
I believe you have a public card, speaker card.
Do we have public speaker cards?
I know Miss Nadine Bailey wished to speak.
Item 6, Roman 6.
It's Scott.
I have just the public forum card, so.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Okay.
Never mind.
Okay, then. We are right on schedule, and we will move to